Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Now we hope you'll open your Bible and join us as Glenn Colley brings us a lesson from God's Word.
Open the Bible, please, to James chapter 1. I don't often do studies on who wrote particular books of the Bible. I mean, I think they're kind of interesting, but so far as preaching a sermon on who wrote a book, that sounds kind of dry. Tonight's the exception. When you talk about James, ladies and gentlemen, you have a story of repentance that rivals the prodigal son of Luke 15. When you read the book of James or study the authorship of James, you have a puzzle, the end of which brings you to a depth of appreciation for our Lord Jesus Christ that you may not have had just in this way before. This is a fascinating story. I hope tonight that you, that number one, that you like a jigsaw puzzle, and number two, that you came hungry for the Word of God, because for the next few minutes we're going to do some of both. When you go to James chapter 1 and verse 1, you don't have much information about the authorship of the book. James, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God, and that's it. Who is this James? In your Bible, and you need to keep your Bible handy because I'm going to work on your thumbs tonight going through, you have four different men named James. Let's figure out which one is the author of the book wearing that name. Now, the first man named James is the father of Judas the apostle. Now, he's only called Judas in Luke 6 and 16. And other times, like in Matthew 10 and verse 2, in that list of the apostles, he's called Thaddeus. And you probably know this apostle as Thaddeus or Lebbeus. Well, in Luke's description or list of the apostles, he's called Judas. Same person, same man, and there it mentions that his daddy's name was James in the American Standard Translation. All right, of course, there's nothing else known about him, and he's a very small, insignificant character as they go in the Bible, and so it's obvious that he's not the author of the book of James. The second one was an apostle. Now, there are two apostles who wear the name James the son of Alphaeus and James the son of Zebedee. The second one I want to discuss is James, the son of Alphaeus. Now, what's interesting about him is that he usually has, or at least one time, has this tag on his name, and we usually pronounce it this way, James the Less. In Kitsing, when we talk, we do the lists of the apostles, we say James the Less. Now, this is very interesting. James, the son of Alphaeus, is called James the Less or James the Little for a reason we don't know. Perhaps he was short in stature. But here's how we know he's called James the Less. In Mark 15 and verse 40, you find the cross, and there are three Marys around the cross. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and then Mary, who the Bible says in Mark 15, 40, is the mother of James the Less. Now, in John 19, 25, you have the same picture of the cross and the three Marys there, only this Mary there is called Mary, the wife of Cleopas, who is the same as Alphaeus. I told you it was a puzzle. And therefore, this is the mother of James the Less, the son of Alphaeus or Cleopas, and in Matthew 10, verse 2, in that list of the apostles, he's called James, the son of Alphaeus. All right, so that demonstrates that James, the son of Alphaeus, is an apostle, and he's called James the Less. One more little note. Levi, who is Matthew, is also described as the son of Alphaeus. Don't know if it's the same Alphaeus, probably so, in which case James the Less and Matthew are brothers. All right. So James the Less. It seems to me very unlikely that James the Less is the author of the book of James. And we'll talk about that some more. But when you get to the end of the gospel accounts in Acts chapter 1, then you have no more reference to James the Less as such. James the son of Alphaeus, never more mentioned, at least in that way, ever again. I don't know what happened to him. But now here's the third one. James, the son of Zebedee. James, the son of Zebedee, is also an apostle. What you remember about him is that in Mark 3, in that list of the elders, the apostles, this one is called, with his brother John, the sons of thunder. Isn't that something? I guess it had to do with their personalities and I don't know, maybe just they were boisterous. But anyway, the Lord called James and his brother John the sons of thunder. And you never find this James, the son of Zebedee, unless he's also linked together or mentioned with his brother John. James and John. Now, we know that this James, the son of Zebedee, is not the author of the book of James because in Acts chapter 12, Herod imprisoned this John and put him to death long before the book of James was written, and therefore it excludes him. The last of the four James is the brother of Jesus. Now it gets really very interesting. In Mark chapter 6, and beginning about verse 3, you have a list of the brothers of Jesus. And the people there were offended at Jesus. And they said, "Isn't this the carpenter?" Interesting that they didn't say the son of the carpenter. "Isn't this the carpenter? And aren't these his brothers?" And then names the brothers of Jesus. Now, we know they're only half-brothers, really, because Jesus, while Jesus' mother was Mary, his father was from the Holy Spirit, you know. He was born of a virgin, and so Joseph is not his father, really, not in the biological sense. So these are his half-brothers, but James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. All right, four brothers. And incidentally, James is mentioned, interestingly, first. There are the brothers. Now, why do I think that James, the brother of Jesus, is the author of the book? Two reasons. The first one is that when you get to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible says that when Paul, after being an apostle 3 years, came to Jerusalem, he said, "I met with James, the Lord's brother." We know which one that is. And in Galatians 2 and verse 9, it says, he makes reference again to that, and he said, "I met with Peter and James and John." Now, we know that's not James, the son of Zebedee, because he was killed in Acts 12. It was James, the Lord's brother. And it says in chapter 2 of Galatians in verse 9, these men seemed to be pillars in the church. James, the brother of Jesus in Galatians, is described by the Apostle Paul as a pillar in the church. Now, I said there were two reasons making me think he's the brother of our Lord and the author of James. Number one, he's called a pillar of the church in Galatians. But the second thing is, the historian Jerome says that James, the brother of Jesus, was an elder in the church at Jerusalem for 30 years. This pillar in the church was an elder for 30 years, if this historian is right, and there's no reason to doubt him. And he wrote the book of James. He wrote the book of James. Now, I hope that puzzle part, I'm through with the puzzle part now. Now let's get on to some other things. I want to talk about the tragedy. The tragedy. When you think about Hebrews 4 and 15, which says the Lord was tempted in all points such as we are, yet without sin. I mean, what that means, of course, is not that Jesus faced every conceivable temptation, but that every kind of temptation, every category of temptation Jesus faced. I want to ask you a question. Does that include temptations relative to family? I mean, trials relative to family and home life? And have you ever had trouble in your family? I mean, have you ever had problems in your family or your extended family? Have you ever? And most of us would say, yes. Does Jesus understand that? Did Jesus face that? In Mark chapter 3, the enemies of my Lord who had lived around him were very offended at what he was doing. I mean, he was selecting apostles, and he was going about performing miracles, and people were starting to follow him. And some said, "He is beside himself." And they were clamoring this, and he's beside himself. He's deranged. And the Bible says there, I said Mark 3, but it's Mark 6. And the Bible says that his brothers and his family was there, and it looks like, can't prove it, but it looks like that they were sort of playing a part in that. And they said, come on, let's go away from here. That maybe they were going along with that. But what really bothers me is John chapter 7. Would you turn to John 7 with me? I want to begin reading in the first verse. Here's what really clinches it. What was his brother's attitude toward Jesus? After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. If you hear a note of sarcasm in my voice, it is because that's how this was said. I'll demonstrate that in a minute. For there's no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. How do you think it was growing up in the house of Jesus? I mean, you don't have to wonder about their attitude toward him. They didn't believe in him. The brothers of Jesus in his house didn't believe in him. Now you say, well, that must have been very troubling for our Lord. Oh, the plot thickens. We can make it worse than that. You see, because there's an implication here relative to Mary, their mother. If Jesus isn't the Son of God, what does it say about Mary? Feel it. Do you feel this? Are you getting it? She's a liar, you know. What are they saying about their own mother? She's a liar because she has claimed from the get-go that she, although she and Joseph weren't actually married when Jesus was conceived, that he was conceived of the Holy Spirit because he's the Son of God. And for these brothers to say, we don't think he's the Son of God, implies that Mary's a liar. Not only that, but that prior to marrying Joseph, she was promiscuous, and that Joseph has merely been duped. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't stretch this thing. The Bible says they didn't believe in him, and I'm saying that's the implication of that statement. They didn't believe in him implies that Mary was wrong all along. Now, how do you think that household must have been? What do you think that must have been like? Because if you're Mary, do you think that there's any question in Mary's mind that Jesus is the Son of God? No. No. She knows. You know what she said when it was said, that which is in you was conceived of the Holy Spirit. How can this be, seeing I've known not a man? She knew what she knew. And don't you know she wanted her boys to believe it too? Can't you imagine her saying to James and to Joseph and Judas and to say to Simon, to say, he is, no, you got to listen to him. He's your brother, but you got to listen to him. He is the Son of God. He really is the Son of God. We don't believe it. We're not going to believe it. I don't know. Maybe some negative human nature kicking in here. I mean, it's not the first time we've seen something like this happen, is it? Jacob loved Joseph so much because he was his favorite son. Now, two things. Number one, parents never have a favorite child. Never, ever pick a favorite child among your children. And number two, if you ever do, you make sure you don't let it be known by anybody. You keep that to yourself. Jacob was foolish, and he made a coat of many colors for Joseph. And what happened? You look at the way that Joseph's brothers, they hate him. They want him dead, right? What about Ishmael's relationship with Isaac? You know, Isaac is the chosen one. The seed comes through Isaac. Ishmael would argue, perhaps, am I not Abraham's son too? And Ishmael hates Isaac. And perhaps some, you know, what about Moses? What about Miriam and Aaron, who said to Moses, we think that you've taken too much on you. Hasn't God spoken by us too? And you've married this Cushite woman, and they... Because Was it that there was just this jealousy of siblings between the brothers of Jesus and Jesus? I don't know. But I know one thing. John 7 says that the brothers did not believe in Him. Now, one of those brothers was James. And I'm saying that brother wrote the book of James that's in your New Testament. You say, well, Glenn, there's a gap here. How do you tie this together? How can this be? Go to Acts chapter 1 with me. Acts chapter 1. I want to read verse 14. Now, you need your Bible because I want to rapidly progress through several passages. Let's start with 13. Let's start with 12. Acts 1, verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Jesus has been crucified and resurrected. When they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. It's just almost incidentally stated. And by the way, in the upper room, His brothers are there. How do you explain that? I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What has happened that now the brothers are there with these apostles and with Mary in the upper room? They're counted among those who are faithful. And how do you explain that? In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is writing and talking about the resurrection of Jesus and who saw Him. Now, he's not talking about James. That's not his point. His point is that Jesus was truly resurrected and that He was seen by many. All right? There's the weight of this chapter, talking about the resurrection. But he mentions James in a very interesting way. I'm in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 15, 4. And that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12, the apostles. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. He was seen of James. Why was that stated? Why is that important? Why would you put that in there? It's a piece of the puzzle. I suggest to you it's a piece of the puzzle. James and his brothers didn't believe in Jesus. Then you have the death, the burial, and, ladies and gentlemen, the resurrection of Jesus. Now, I'm telling you that the people in Acts chapter 2, when the birth of the church occurred and the people heard the preaching of Jesus Christ and the gospel, now you know about Peter's sermon, and the result was that the people started crying out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What did Peter say that made them want to become Christians? About 3,000 of them were baptized. What did Peter say? Peter said, "You know about the miracles of Jesus because you've seen them." They had to admit they had. "And you know that Jesus died on that cross." They admitted that. And many of you saw Him alive after His resurrection. And those people, ladies and gentlemen, who were there when it all happened, said, "What shall we do?" It gives me great courage and increases my faith. I'm 2,000 years removed, but I can tell you one thing. Those people who were there days after the resurrection were so moved by the reality of what had happened, that Jesus really rose from the dead, that they wanted to become Christians. They knew it was the truth. What was it that persuaded James and his brothers? I submit that the Bible is teaching us that it was the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now I can't deny it. Now I know my brother Jesus really is the Son of God after all. Go to Acts 12. Acts chapter 12. Remember that as we get into this chapter, in the first, Herod executes James, the son of Zebedee, the first apostle to be martyred. But then Peter is also in that prison, and Herod's going to go ahead and remove him too. Go ahead and kill him. People seem to like this sort of thing. I'm going to go ahead and have him executed. But before it happens, remember the Lord releases Peter from prison, wakes him up, swings the door open, and Peter is able just to walk right out. And he goes to where the Christians are. And they're, of course, so excited. Now, I'm in verse 17 of Acts 12. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went unto another place. This James, I believe to be the same man, the brother of the Son of God. Go to 15, Acts chapter 15. We typically call this the Jerusalem Conference. The Jewish Christians were having a hard time with this business of baptizing Gentile people and Gentiles being part of the church. And some were saying, okay, we let them in the church, but they got to be circumcised after the law of Moses. To be real Christians and in the kingdom, they got to be circumcised. They got to be Jewish-like in order to be in the church. And, you know, that can't be right. That's not part of the New Testament. And so they have this meeting. Now, it's apostles and elders, but the main one is the Holy Spirit. They came with the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just that men were getting together to decide this. The Holy Spirit was playing a role, and that's important. Now watch what happens. You have men standing up and making speeches, and Peter stands up and makes a speech, but you get down to verse 13, and look what you've got. And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. And he makes his discourse. In verse 19 he says, wherefore my sentence is, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. And it's very interesting that this elder named James, they listen to him and how the Holy Spirit is there, and they declare essentially what he has suggested. And that's what is told to these Gentile Christians. And his name is James. When we get then to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 19, Paul goes to Jerusalem. First time after being an apostle, and his point is, when I became an apostle, I didn't have to go to the other apostles to prove who I was or that my apostleship was valid. But after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem. And he said, I got there and I met with James. They met with Peter, and he said, but I met with James. And then you get to chapter 2 of Galatians and verse 9, and it says, I met with Peter and James and John, who seemed to be pillars in the church. I submit to you, I believe that James is none other than the brother of Jesus, and he's called a pillar in the church. And the historian Jerome says that this James served as an elder in the church in Jerusalem for 30 years until the middle of the reign of Nero. And now let's talk about his death. This is a quote from Josephus. Can we get the... This is slide number 11. There we go. Thank you. So Ananus, this is Josephus the historian, Antiquities 29, being that kind of man and thinking that he had a good opportunity, because Festus was dead and Albinus was not yet arrived, holds a judicial council, and he brought before it the brother of Jesus, who is called Christ, James was his name, and some others, and on the charge of violating the law, he gave them over to be stoned. Another historian describes the death of James this way. He says that the Jewish leaders took him to the pinnacle of the temple. Does that sound familiar? You know, Jesus was taken to the pinnacle of the temple by the devil. They took James to the pinnacle of the temple and told him to renounce Christ before the Jews so they would quit pursuing his teachings. In other words, James, the brother of Jesus, according to this historian, was still influencing a lot of the Jewish people to follow Jesus Christ. They took him to the pinnacle of the temple and they said, we want you to call to all these people and tell these Jewish people and tell them to quit following Christ, renounce Christ. James allegedly said, why do you ask me concerning the Son of Man? He sitteth himself in heaven on the right hand of the great power and shall come on the clouds of heaven. according to the historian, people began giving glory and said, Hosanna to the Son of David. They cast him off the temple and, seeing he was still alive, stoned him. One of the fullers took a club he used to pound clothes and hit him on the head, and he died. And now we read with new vision, or hopefully a new depth, the first verse of the book bearing the name James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a nickname. When you hear it, it's going to sound kind of funny. His nickname was Camel Knees. Two words, Camel Knees. That doesn't sound very flattering, but history says they called him that because he had prayed on his knees for so long that they had become rough and calloused. His influence so great that the Jews saw fit to kill him and try to stop the influence of people obeying Jesus Christ. I wonder when James the Christian prayed, how he prayed. Did he pray like Paul and regret the past? Did he remember the things he had, awful, awful things he had said to his brother Jesus, and wish he could turn the clock back? Did he pray, oh Father, take me to heaven one day. I've got some things I want to say to my brother Jesus. I've got some things I want to say to him. When he closed his prayer, did he pray, Father, I pray this in the name of my brother Jesus, who is the Son of God? There you have it. Don't you love to study the Bible? The Bible is rich and deep, and you can study it all your life, and there's still things that you don't see. It's so full, and the reason is it didn't originate with men. It originated in the heart of God, and we have it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the inspired Word of God to illuminate our pathway in life so we can go to heaven. You've been very patient to listen. Is there someone here who wants to obey the gospel that James obeyed? Is there someone here who wants to become a Christian? You can repent of your sins and confess the sweet name of the Son of David, the Son of God, Jesus. And tonight you can be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Would you like to do that? We'd be happy to baptize you tonight. If you are a member of the body, but tonight you need the prayers of Christians, perhaps you've backslidden and you want to come back and be faithful, we'd be happy to do that. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come now as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.